Brother Paul says he doesn't think I've got a microphone. If you can't hear me tonight, that means I'm preaching to myself, and you might agree that I need that. Like the fellow said one time, if you can't hear me, that's too bad. I heard every word I said. We have visitors with us tonight, and for that we're very grateful. As always, for everyone who comes to our services, we invite your hearts and minds to the Word of God. This morning our lesson was on our God is a comforting God. Tonight, it's sort of like Paul Harvey used to say, and this is the rest of the story. Well, I have divided into two different lessons. Our lesson tonight is closely associated in some ways to the one we had this morning. You will find the text in Exodus, the 20th chapter, in verse 21. Israel had been journeying through the wilderness. They had been led through the Red Sea, dry shod, come up on the other side. The bitter waters of Meribah had been sweetened, and Miriam and all of them had sung the song of deliverance. Now they had arrived at Mount Sinai. The Bible says here at the foot of Mount Sinai, the children of Israel stopped, halted, and it says, and Moses drew nigh to the thick darkness where God was. I thought about that scripture, and I thought about that has a close association with the life of man, with the history of man. It closely touches the emotions of our own heart. For the Bible says in the New Testament in Romans 10:17, a verse of scripture that we're all acquainted with, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But now don't you admit that some days that's easier than others? It's fairly easy in the days when we walk in the light. Malachi prophesied of the time to come and said, arise and shine, for the light is come and is risen upon thee, the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. And we so love to think of Jesus as that, and that really is what he is. And then John comes along in the New Testament and says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Paul said in Colossians 1:13, he has rescued us out of darkness. And then Peter, close to the last of the Bible, says this, he has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. And yet there stands this text in Exodus 20 and 21, the thick darkness where God was. That's a paradox. That God is light, but we must never forget, as we were talking about this morning, there's really no place where God is. Psalms 139, the psalmist talks about there's no place that you can go and rid yourself of God. Jonah found that out, didn't he? In the belly of the whale at the bottom of the sea. But it's difficult sometimes when we're treading the darkness to be able to feel his presence like we feel it in the light. I have been in the darkness many times, holding hands with members of the church in the hospital, wondering if their loved one was going to make it or not. There's some dark hours there. Sometimes that's been at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. It's shuddering. And we've got to learn to trust exactly what Romans 10:17 says, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so when we're in the darkness with God, it takes a lot of faith. And that's what we rely upon. Why is it that God is in the darkness sometimes and commands it that way? He ordained it that way here at Sinai. Sinai was bad enough in the daytime, but boy, now with thunderstorms are coming and hanging around the top, the thick darkness, the people quivered and they quaked, and the Bible says they didn't draw nigh. It's difficult to draw nigh to God when there's that kind of thick darkness. But as I said, this thrusts itself upon human life and upon us. It demands then that we should come to terms with it. So let's study tonight for a little bit the thick darkness where God is. If we do that, we have to go back to Israel and think about Israel for a little while. There was another day besides this one when Israel came to a dark day. It came to the time when all the glory of the Exodus, the crossing of the Red Sea, had all faded. All the majesty of David and Solomon was gone, and all the dreams of the prophets seemed utterly eclipsed in the black darkness. For that was the day when Nebuchadnezzar's armies entered Jerusalem and burned it and tore down the temple and hooked the jaws of the Israelites with fish hooks and tied them onto the chariots and carried them back into Babylon. Thank God we haven't suffered like anything like that. But some of you who have walked into darkness, and if you haven't walked into darkness with God, the day is coming when you will. Maybe you will feel like they did. When they got back, they said, "We can't even sing the songs of Zion anymore." By the rivers of Babylon, they said, "We sat down and there we wept." Have you ever wept in the darkness with God? "Where is now your God?" the slave driver said as they laid the lash on their backs. The real sad part of it is that deep down in their heart in that black day, they were scared to death it might be true. "Where is God?" "Oh no, but he's sure not in Babylon." But how utterly wrong they were. Because during this dark time, God had a man by the name of Jeremiah. And as Moses drew nigh to God in the thick darkness, God has a man or has somebody or has the word that comes nigh to him in the thick darkness and things are different. So Jeremiah came into that thick darkness and he stood up along also with Ezekiel at the river Kibar. Daniel way down in the capital of Babylon. In that thick darkness, things changed. For out of that thick darkness, there came the voice of God, said, "You're going home. You're going to go home. You're going to rebuild the temple. You're going to dwell therein. And besides all of that, the Messiah is coming. And when the Messiah comes, you're going to have a new covenant. Things are going to be different. It's not going to be according to the old. And in that day, I will remember your sins no more. I'll forgive them." Now, that prophecy came in a day of darkness when the people was wondering, "Where is God in this thick day of darkness?" And so if we use the Bible in this kind of way, I think we can come to the understanding that we're better creatures. When we get to be an older Christian, mature Christian, and look back through the years, and we can see those dark days that we wondered sometimes, is God really here? He was. And the scriptures are really true. "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." And he's in the thick darkness. The thick darkness where God was. Let us truly, beloved, believe our own faith that the God who came to Israel through the thick darkness of exile and the dark who was reconciling the world to himself in that thick darkness at Calvary is not deserting the world in its present darkness. Beloved, because he came not only to Israel in Babylon, but there was another time of thick darkness. There was the time that when Rome bestrode the world, old Caesar did like a giant colossus with a mailed fist ruling the world. And where was Israel at that time? She was a non-entity. She was just a slave state, so to speak, under the auspices of Rome. To put it very bluntly, she was less than dust under Caesar's chariot wheels. What are they going to do? You really want to see the blackness? The priests were hypocrites. The temple was defiled. They had made it a den of thieves. And you talk about darkness, the blackness of darkness. But then, in the blackness of darkness, a babe was born in Bethlehem. And God came into that thick darkness, and all things were different. He came unto his own received him not, the Bible says, first chapter, John. No, they took him in. They said, we'd rather have Barabbas. You want me to, what do you want me to do with this, your king? Pilate said. They said, crucify him, kill him. And they killed him that day. And he was so sorrowful and so shameful that the sun hid its face. And it was blackness on the face of this earth. But God was there. Even though Jesus in the flesh says, why have you forsaken me? He was there. Because when the dark deed was finished, God took the cross, the gallows, and turned it into glory. He took the very curse, the very thing that evil men were doing in this black time, and turned it into atonement for sins, so that you and I sit here tonight and this morning and take the Lord's Supper and remember that. And we remember Jesus. Maybe it would help to think, as I partake of the Lord's Supper, this was born in a dark day. The darkness, the thick darkness, where God was. Where I don't think sometimes, how in the world could he be there? Where is God? I know all of those promises in the Bible that he's everywhere, but in that thick darkness, it gets tough. But I've carried us through these times tonight to show that in history and in the birth of Christianity, God was there. Now, if you've lived to be a mature Christian, as I have, through several years, you've certainly known some of these dark days in your life. Some of the days that challenged your faith. And you wondered at the moment, could all of this really be exactly like he tells us it is? And then when you reach the age of a mature Christian and look back over your life and you say, amen, yes, he was. And those scriptures that say, I'll be with you even to the ends of the earth, are absolutely true. There is another dark day, and that's the dark day of death. The time that we have to stand around the couch and say, at least earthly-wise, goodbye to those that we love that are going over on the other side. But Paul says concerning that, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? He said that to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15, but I wonder, because I think about it personally, I wonder if those or some words very like that was what was not in the heart of Paul as he was walking slowly toward the block where he was beheaded. This is not the end. This is the beginning. And I'm about to say, as Porphyria, one of the early Christian martyrs, were, she was in a cell waiting to be taken to the arena for the wild animals. And she had a handmaid that was in the cell with her. And her handmaid was blubbering and crying. And Porphyria, the one to be carried to the lions, turned around and said, hush. This is a dark day. But it's the day of my coronation. I'm going to be with my Lord. And things like that then are really horrifying in the heart to think that we'd have to come to that. And thanks be unto God that none of us have had to face anything like that. But you and I don't know what tomorrow brings. And Jesus says to live every day for itself. And as I said this morning, there was a gospel preacher and his wife preaching for the church in Gulfport. Happy, wonderful life. Children. And one day somebody walked in and shot his wife and him too. We don't know what the day brings. And they're in a dark time. But God is there. God does not promise us a rose garden, but God says, I'll be there. And I'm just sure that when we close our eyes on that dark time, when we're here no longer, it's almost like closing our eyes and opening them again, and the angels of God, you know, who are the angels of God? We say, well, there's Gabriel and so on. There's lots of angels of God. You see epitaphs on the tombstones. This little angel's gone to heaven. May very well be. You remember in Luke 16, the Bible says the angels carried Lazarus to Abraham's bosom. So when you open your eyes at that time, and I think there's a song, Paul. Will the angels come for me? Will they bear me over the sea? We used to sing that when I was young at home. The angels then there with glad reunion, and some of those angels may be your very own loved ones. For in the hope of the resurrection, our Lord says to you and me, it's not goodbye. I give them back to you. What a wonderful day that will be. Let's continue and believe in the thick darkness where God is. If you're here tonight, one of the greatest hopes and comforts and so on is that fact. If you're not a Christian, what do you do on days like that? I often wonder about people that are not Christian and out in the world, running the motorboats up and down the lake and care nothing about the Lord on the Lord's Day. And I don't see anything wrong with a motorboat, but I'm just saying using something else like that rather than worship the Lord. I wonder, suddenly this darkness comes to them. I've been in funerals like that. I have conducted funerals where they were not Christians. And I've conducted funerals where they were dear Christians. And I'm here to tell you, there is a difference in the atmosphere. I've never heard more sobbing and railing and carrying on at a funeral than when a loved one had died and the whole family were not members of the Lord's church. They were not Christians. And then when Christians die, I see the little silent tears, the little gentle weeping. But Paul says, we don't weep as those who have no hope. We weep because we know God is in the thick darkness. If you're here tonight, you ought to be a Christian. This is a great thing to know that God walks with you and can talk with you in spirit, bear you to his heavenly home and be with you in all of this thick darkness that you're going to be in this world. If you're not a Christian, you don't have that. But if you do, it's wonderful. The Bible says, come unto me. It says, do you believe? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Won't you do that tonight? And if you're a Christian, and you've messed up your life, and you've got problems, and you've been doubting that God is in the darkness, just get a little older and trust God and get on through it. And when you get older, look back over your life and you'll see that it's true. On the other hand, if you forsake Him, you look back over your life and you see what a folly it was that I walked out on Him. But if you've walked out on Him tonight, the invitation is to you too. We'll pray with you and for you, or baptize you if that's what your desire is, as Brother Paul leads us in our song. Brother Paul.